Lessons for the life. Parshas Ekev. Only a few more weeks left with you wonderful boys. We'll be learning about, is Big Brother watching? Big Brother is watching. Says in the Parsha, Parshas Ekev, we learn the mitzvah of mezuzah. The mitzvah of mezuzah. The second paragraph of Shema is written. Yep, you know it. That's the way you say it, actually, in this minyan. And then it says, right, that we have the mitzvah of mezuzah, v'chsavtem lo'ot, u'chsavtem lo'al mezuzecha, mezuzot beitecha v'isharecha. Okay? That a person should go ahead and write mezuzahs for the mitzvah of mezuzahs. L'man yirbu yimeichem v'neichem al p'nei adama, asher nishba Hashem elokechem latet lachem, kimei ha-shamayim al ha-aretz. And then we go, of course, go into the parasha of tzitzis. So we know the beauty and importance of the mitzvah of mezuzah, and we go out, and we should go out very, very far in order to do this mitzvah in the appropriate way. I hope. So you understand that the mitzvah of mezuzah is one that is very important. It is something that a person should run after to make sure that he has kosher mezuzahs, and there are many, many wonderful stories about people who, unfortunately for them, didn't have kosher mezuzahs. Sometimes guys go to Israel, and they come back, and they ask their parents about their mezuzahs, and they find that it's not so it's not so great. I know of one story that I was told by, actually my grandmother told me this story, when she went to the Rabbi Shir, I think it was back in the days, it was in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, Rabbi Roth, and he was giving a shir on the mezuzah and the importance of it, and a woman who, Fifth Avenue Synagogue, Shmokenu, Fifth Avenue, she was quite wealthy, and she said, "Rabbi, I have not checked my mezuzahs in like ever. Who do I call?" You know, the mezuzah doctor, they call them. So he says, no, I'll come. I'll do a personal, I'll go. So he comes with his tools and he takes out mezuzah number one. This is a Park Avenue apartment. Number two, number four, number five, number 18, number 20, number whatever goes up to. There's not one beautiful, beautiful outside, right? Which is Zekeli Van Veo, wonderful. No cloth inside. And he doesn't know what to do. It's like the most remarkable thing ever. And finally he says to her, my dear lady, you're missing all the cloth. She says, "What do you mean? You know the parchment that goes inside? We spoke about it today." He goes, "Oh," she says, "the instructions? I threw those out. I know how to put up a mezuzah. You know, the person knew how to put up a mezuzah." True story. Sometimes people spend more money on the outside than on the inside. But that's interesting because that's a segue to actually what the mitzvah is. Right? We know that there are many interesting halachas of what a mezuzah has to say the kosher, how it's to be kosher, but actually on the outside, I never knew this before. My son, on Friday morning, one of you will be in charge of serving, will have his hanachas tefillin, Mirtz Hashem, here in wonderful Guilford, New York. I'm sure what the Ribbono Shalom had in mind. And it can't be at the Kotel, what are you going to do? And so when we were doing, when we bought his tefillin, better said, when my parents bought his tefillin, so when I was there, so he taught us, he does a class where he teaches you the laws of tefillin and explaining the importance and the beauty of it. So he took out a mezuzah that he writes, it's a sofer, and he showed the back. I'm sure you've seen the back of the mezuzahs have on it some very weird word. It has, of course, Hashem's name, Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, which potentially stands for Shulma Delatot Yisrael, that Hashem watches over the doors post of Yisrael. But then there's, if you ever look, I would take it off, but it doesn't, it's like nailed in, it probably has nothing in it anyway. And it has all this stuff, and it's, he told me, I don't know, it's Kabbalistic. It's the Shem Hashem written in different Kabbalistic ways. So it's a very, very holy thing. And we have to be careful that we do this, that we have it. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mezuzah, I think very, very beautiful, when he presents the laws of mezuzah, so he explains to us what we should think about when we have our mezuzahs in our homes. We should be awakened from the slumber. I'll read you the beautiful lush from the Rambam. Chayav Adam lizaher lihizaher b'mezuzah b'nei shehi chovas akol tamid. I remember asking Rav Nevinzal once, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, of the Old City. I said to him, how is a person allowed, it's like a kasha that, you know, Shana Aleph guys to show that he's like smart, because you learn to shear, and you say, oh, I'm going to try to trump Rav Nevinzal with a question that's really stupid. And I said, how are you allowed to check your mezuzahs? Because the moment you check your mezuzahs, you're mevatel a mitzvah. So I said, aren't you, you're mevatel a mitzvah every single minute that you're doing a mitzvah. And he looked at me and he goes, every minute? Every second. Every second you have a mezuzah on your door that's kosher, right? And Baruch Hashem, you know, you live in fancy schmancy houses. So you have 18 mezuzahs, 20 mezuzahs in your house. Every minute, you get a mitzvah every second. Okay, it was klutz kasher because in order to check it, you can. And in fact, nowadays, the mezuzah doctor, they have spare mezuzahs you can put up while it's being checked. So he says, okay, v'chol zman shenichnas liyotza, yifka, he should, right? So this is an interesting halachic source. There's actually no Gemara source for kissing the mezuzah. We'll learn in a moment where I think it came from. But a person should at least think, which is a hard thing to do. I think that's why kissing became an important thing, or touching the mezuzah. Because we should stop for a moment and understand what we're about to be doing. V'chol zman shenichnas v'yotzev yifka b'yichur Hashem, the oneness of God, Shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yizkar ahavatso v'yizor mishnato v'yishka be'hevele hazman, v'yadoa she'ein davar ha'omeid le'olam u'la'olmei ha'olamot ela yidi'ut sur ha'olamim. This is a Rambam Mishnah Torah. This is halachas. And it goes on very flowerily and beautiful of the point of the mezuzah itself. Just looking at the mezuzah reminds us of Hashem. He's the one protecting us in this home, and we should go on the right path. Amru chachamim harishonim, kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin barosha. He's wearing tefillin on his head, ubizro, and his arm. V'tzitzis bibigdo, and he's wearing tzitzis, not outside his garments, rachman olitzlan, like today. Umezuzah bepetzach, and he has a mezuzah in the petzach, beso muchzak hu. Shlo yichta, he shall not sin. Shari yeshlo maskirim rabim, he has many reminders of God. Vehein heim hamalochem hamatzlim oto, and that's going to save him from doing any sin because he's going to be surrounded by mitzvah. So Rambam's lashon is beautiful. The mezuzah essentially is supposed to wake us up and inspire us from our slumber and realize Hashem's with us always. Hashem's always looking in on us. Remind us of his Torah as well. Rabbi Fran points out that the mezuzah is a silent witness to what goes on in a person's home. Right? It's the one that knows really what's going on. Because when the doors are closed, okay, depending on what kind of door you have, like here, so the mezuzah is on the outside, but in most doors, the mezuzah is Hashem. It's Yichud Hashem, and it knows really what's going on in your home. Whereas sometimes outside of your home, you know, you pretend you're all frum and you're all great and you're all wonderful and they say, oh yeah. But inside the home, he knows what you're watching. He knows what you're doing. He knows your seriousness. He knows that you could have woken up for minyan. He knows that you could have gone to Shachar sometime on Shabbos, but you chose to sleep. The mezuzah is testimony to that. Or my friend really uses this and says, look at that mezuzah. The mezuzah is testimony to life. Imagine that mezuzah that's hanging in the shul. It's been there for 50, 100 years maybe. It's seen the brises and the bar mitzvahs. It's seen the, what we call the circle of life. It's seen everything. The mezuzah of the Holocaust, the mezuzah of Medina Yisrael. I mean, think about what the mezuzah sees. Colloquial, we say, if there was a fly on the wall, this is the fly on the wall. This is the big brother that's watching. Yichud Hashem. Hashem is there. He sees how we've grown and understands everything that goes on. It's sad, because the mezuzah also represents that our lives are beyond human comprehension. That our lives are just not only what we think and what we see. We don't understand. The mezuzah reminds us of that. Here today, gone tomorrow. Baruch Hashem, I recognize every time I walk into a door of my home, I'm so lucky to have this home. I'm so lucky not to have X, Y, I don't want to open up the Pedla Satan, but last night, late at night, there were a number of trucks outside one of the cabins who were dealing with certain rodents in someone's home. They can't sleep at night, right? So, but thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, I don't have that. Somebody has a leak on the roof. Thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm living it. He's supporting me. Hashem is always watching. And that's something that the mezuzah is this silent reminder of, I'm always surrounded by mitzvos. There's someone watching me. I use the term big brother, because as you know from the show, I'm told, Ha'ach HaGadol, that I'm told that this show has cameras all the time watching. It's a horrible, horrible show, in my opinion, because I think the whole point of the show is that things happen and, you know, oh, this one's with this one. It's disgusting. But if I were to tell you, right, I know this is illegal, please calm down. Camp Missouri has decided to install cameras in all of the cabins and all the bunks to make sure that all the counselors act appropriately with them. And in the waiters' bunks also, just to make sure you don't do funny things at night. So you wouldn't be inviting girls to your things for sure, and you would be acting appropriately. And it caught every curse word that you said. And it caught maybe inappropriate lyrics that you play, or it caught things that you're watching. You wouldn't do it. You would be scared. So too, if you decided, you know, I have a period off, and I'm going to watch something on that's not appropriate. Right? So you wouldn't go right to that window over there. You know that people are watching. Were you crazy? But that's the Rabbanu Shalom reminding us. I'm right here. I'm there. I'm the mezuzah. I'm in your homes. Yichud Hashem. The reason why I think kissing of the mezuzah became something that was popular, even though, as I said, it's not codified based on a Gemara, is because we need these constant reminders. I said to you before, that I thought it was based on an idea that's quoted in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph has a fascinating story. The Gemara tells the story of Romans who converted to Judaism. One such person was Unculus bar Cloinimus, Igayar Shadr Kesar. He converted to Judaism, and guess what? The Roman emperor sent troops of Roman soldiers after him to get him. So, the Gemara says, what happened? They caught him, and he used some psukim. And they're like, wow, those are cool psukim. And they converted to Judaism. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, other troops went. And he said, don't say anything, because if you say something, he's going to quote these psukim, he's going to get you to convert to Judaism. So they followed him, they followed the instructions of the Roman emperor, and they went to him. They walked with him, and Unculus said to one of the troops, I will say a mere statement to you. And again, he gets him. And then the final story is the story that I wanted to quote, right? He gets a few times for them to do this. So he says like this. The next time, Hadar Shadar, Gunda Achrene. So now they sent other troops after them. He says, don't talk to them. Don't listen. Don't do anything. And he says he grabbed him. And just as he grabbed him, he grabs onto the mezuzah. Chaze mezuse use yade. He grabs the mezuzah on his hand, stomach the way most people do. And he grabbed the mezuzah. That's placed on everybody's doorway. And he places his hand on it. And the soldiers say, what's going on over here? What are you telling us? What are you doing? Amar lahem, minhago shel olam. Listen to this. Minhago shel olam, melech basar v'dam, yoshev v'vneihem, v'avada mishamim oso v'chutz. What normally happens? The king sits in the palace, and all the guards are outside. And they're making sure nobody touches the king. V'ilu ha-kodesh baruch hu, but Hashem, avada b'fnim, v'hu mishamim v'chutz. The king of all kings, he's outside protecting us from the inside. We're the servants and we're on the inside. And God says, I got this. Put me on the outside. Put me on the mezuzah on the outside. I got this. I'm going to watch over you. Shomer delatot Yisrael. I'm watching you. I'm watching over you. And he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Hashem yishmor tzeisik orecha miyatzav yad olam. That's talking about the mezuzah itself. The Gemara continues. This is one of the key sources for at least touching the mezuzah. There's a whole halachic shir I can give on this topic, but nonetheless, that is one of the reasons that people have. The Zohar already quotes that a person should actually kiss the mezuzah itself, but it's to remind us of this Yichud Hashem. This amazing story we see reminds us of that Hashem is always with us. So what's the point? You know, there's a story told. If you go on to Chabad.org, they have this great story. It's a long story. I'll shorten the story. It's about students from UCLA. And one student is becoming a little bit more aware of her Judaism. And she decides, in one of her, actually, she's taking a class in Judaism. She learns about mezuzah, and she decides she wants to put a mezuzah on her apartment. So she goes and puts the mezuzah on the apartment. And her Jewish roommates say to her, what are you doing? And she says, you know, there's a mezuzah, you know about, I mean, most, a lot of people know about mezuzah. And they say, oh God, it's so embarrassing. It's so not PC. It's not PC. You're going to put your religion on your doorpost, like literally on wearing it on your arm. It's not appropriate. She's, and this is the Jewish talking to her. If you really want it, put it inside the door. But halachically not permissible. So she decides to put it on the door. So this professor that helped her put it up happened to pass the next day, and he sees there's two nail marks and it's gone, the mezuzah. So he figures, you know what, he's not going to say anything. He's not going to say anything. Passes by a few days later and sees the mezuzah's back. So he says, now I got to find out the story. This is a hack. So he goes to her and he says, I'm not going to lie to you. I noticed that you took the mezuzah off and now it's back. What's the story? She said, I'll tell you a remarkable story. She says, I was embarrassed, so I took the mezuzah off as I just told you, and I put it there. And then I get a sticker on my door. And the sticker says, from FedEx or whatever, UPS, a package had been left by your upstairs neighbor as a package for you. He's a reliable guy. So she goes upstairs to get the package. She says, I recognize this guy. He lives in the apartment complex, a very, very old man. So she knocks on the door and gets the package. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And as she's about to walk out, he's like, shalom. And she's like, either it's the shalom of Walmart, I call it, you know, of, oh God, here comes a conversation about my horns, or the guy's Jewish. So she turns to the guy and she says, are you Jewish? He says, begrudgingly, he's like, I guess you can call me Jewish. I mean, I don't really care about Judaism at all. She says, why not? She says, I'm a survivor of Auschwitz, the Holocaust. My children, my wife, gas chambers. I was the only one who escaped. Judaism really doesn't do it for me. So I'm so sorry to hear that. She's not going to be makar of him. She's not so firm herself. So she starts to walk away again. And he says, can I ask you a question? Why did you get rid of your mezuzah? She's shocked. She says, what do you mean? He says, well, let me tell you something. One day, I walked into my apartment house that I've lived in for many years, and I see that you have a mezuzah up. And I walked to the mezuzah and I kissed it and I started crying. It reminded me of everything Jewish that I always was and why I'm not like that way anymore. And I went back to my apartment, and later that night, when nobody saw me, I ran back downstairs and I went up to that mezuzah again. And it reminded me of all those memories of before the Holocaust. And the next day I see you took it out. What happened? Where's my mezuzah? And the story of course ends, and she says, I'm not going to put the mezuzah up. This guy who survived the Holocaust. And she put it up, and then they bought him a mezuzah. It was a very beautiful story. The bottom line is, we have to recognize that Hashem is watching us. Hashem loves us. He wants to protect us. He wants to protect us from sin, as we read in the Rambam. We're surrounded by mitzvahs. We're supposed to be wearing three integral, we're supposed to have three integral things. We're supposed to care about our tefillin, right? I just had a discussion today about this topic, where we spoke about the beauty and importance of tefillin and how dare us, while we're wearing our tefillin, do other things. We don't wear tefillin for so long. You know, the halacha is really should wear tefillin all day. We can't hold to wear tefillin all day. Most of us can't wear tefillin, you know, for 30 minutes, right? So it should hurt a person. Somebody asked me, which minyan are you going to on Tisha B'Av? Are you going to, you know, the first minyan at 1:45? Or are you going to go to right before? So it happens to be a halachic machloikas on a tanis, what's better davening? I said, you know what? Forget about the halachic machloikas. I haven't put tefillin on all day. It doesn't bother you? You didn't put tefillin all day? You're going to first put tefillin on at 7 o'clock at night? I can't do that. I can't all day. I know it's Tisha, but I can't. It should bother us. I'm wearing tefillin and I'm going to start checking my emails. This is why, you know, one of the million pet peeves you'll hear from me, people who use their phones as a sitter. Disgusting, especially with these beautiful sitters here with English. Why is it disgusting? Because you know what's going on. You guys know, come on, don't be idiots. The moment you get a WhatsApp, you get a text, you stop talking to God and you start talking to Sprinzel. It's terrible. What are you doing? You're wearing tefillin, you're talking. Shh, quiet. You're chewing gum, you're wearing tefillin, Rabbanu Shailo. You have the tzitzis. The tzitzis. This is it, Rabbi Isai. Tzitzis is what protects us. God promised us, put this garment on, I'm going to help you out. Nah, not important. Or worse off, you have tzitzis that are not kosher. You haven't changed your tzitzis in who knows how long. It's a mitzvah, such an easy mitzvah to do. Every second you get a mitzvah. I'm making them. It's so hot in the dining room, I don't have to wear tzitzis. I gave myself a heads up. Come on. And finally, a mezuzah. One day you'll have the schus of doing the mitzvah of mezuzah yourself. It's a great mitzvah. Making all those brachas, putting up a mezuzah. God promised I'm going to... But the promise is also, I'm also watching it. I also know everything that goes on. I know the circle of life. I know the ups and downs that you have, but I'm always with you. What a great message. To know that I'm always with you. I'm like holding your hand. But think about the Gemara's such a beautiful analogy. The king's got all the servants outside protecting him that nobody should touch the king. Here Hashem sounds on the outside, Yivyachal. And he says, I'm protecting you from the outside. Nobody's going to get you. It's a beautiful thing. There's a million stories I could tell you about mezuzah. But the concept of mezuzah is so important because it reminds us that Hashem is always with us, is always protecting us. In every room, and every place that we are, there's a mezuzah, there's a protection. And that's something that we should think about in Mirtz Hashem for many, many years to come.